David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and J Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap J Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Wentz under heat, and down he goes at the 17-yard line. Jaquan Brisker, a rookie, picked in the second round out of Penn State, comes in from the secondary to take him down. Second down and goal. Fields, that's knocked in the air, and the Commanders come down with it. They do. So deflected up into the air, and a pickoff at the 5-yard line. Fake to Herbert. Fake end around. And incomplete. Trying to go to Ryan Griffin. The tight end a little too long. Third down and goal. Fields under center. Fourth and goal. Herbert, can he get in? Washington thinks they have stopped him. And for the moment, it appears they have.
Well-thrown ball. Just missed time there by Samuel. That's a touchdown.
God forbid. Bears go no huddle. Pick up the pace here. Fields deep downfield, and it is going to be caught for a touchdown. Dante Pettis. Jones stands back inside his 20. Good boot. Fielded, dropped at the 10-yard line. And a scramble for it at the 5-yard line. And who's got it? Jones gave it up. Reed says, we have it, meaning Washington. So does Mayo. And the officials say, you are correct.
Jeez.
Jones having trouble. And a gigantic mistake right there. Second and goal. Robinson. And he will get into the end zone for a touchdown. Fourth and goal from the 4. Fake toss to the end zone. And it is juggled. Did he catch it? No, he did not. Incomplete. Mooney, for the moment, looked like he might have it. Does not. He got St. Juice covering on the play. Officials going over it.
I think he called it a catch, but not in.
Short of the goal line. Yep. The runner ball shouldn't come for catch, but short of the goal line.
Those are the lowlights of the Bears and their loss against the Washington Commanders. Glad you're with us here on Cap and J. Don't be laughing, Alex. Cap and J Hood on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. The great Alex Brown joins us here to break down the Bears as they are now 2-4 with a 3-game losing streak. Hello, Alex.
Hey, how you doing?
You know how we're doing.
What's up, AB?
Don't come in here. Don't come in here smiley and friendly. This has not been good this morning. Don't come in here with that. This has been a mess. Nonsense. So we start here. What were your overall thoughts on the Bears' loss to the Washington? What stood out most?
What stood out most was that we're in the red zone 3 times. We got 0 points. That we lost the turnover battle or the takeaway battle. They took the ball away twice. We didn't take the ball away at all. That is how you lose to bad football teams. So we rushed for over 200 yards. The defense holds the team to under 100 yards passing, 128 yards rushing, which is good for this year's Chicago Bears because we haven't been very good against the run, and you hold them to 12 points. Those things, good and bad, stood out. Because if we can continue to do more good things, like holding a team to 12 points, hold them to under 100 yards passing, which that isn't likely to happen too many more times, but just close and making sure they earn everything, you're going to win football games. It's learning how to win. It's not just waking up the next day or turning the page from one regime to the next and you just start winning. It's not that easy, especially when you got a new offensive scheme, you got a new defensive scheme. You don't have the players, even though the names are there. Sometimes players don't fit in every scheme. So you got to get your players. So patience is what I would tell the Chicago fan base.
AB, we had fun last night, ate some dinner, mm-hmm. watched the game, you, me, Lance, and coach. And yep. First of all, I looked at what happened last night. It was one of the worst football games I've ever watched. It set football back. You are correct that if you hold someone to 12 points, you should be able to win the football game. But this kid we're playing at quarterback has no chance. No receivers. He's getting hit 46% of the time. He's getting pressured. He's lucky he didn't break his leg on the one play. So if you were running this thing, what would you do now going, you got New England on the road, you got Dallas and Micah Parsons around the corner in 2 weeks. What do you do?
You try to help him. You try to get him outside of the pocket. They're running the football at a high clip, okay? Now you have to design plays off of those run plays to give the defense the same look. So now you can get to the edge. You can run these boots. You can run stuff outside of the pocket. If we really dig into it and you look at that pressure that we're talking about, it is when he drops straight back and we are going their four defensive linemen against our five offensive linemen. They are winning at a high clip, whoever they is. It does not matter. It's been the same thing every single week that we're watching his game or watching the Bears play. And it is frustrating to see him constantly putting him in position, putting the offensive line in position, and putting the quarterback in position to not succeed. As far as the receivers, this is what we have. It's like when you're playing, like, Hood, you know, when you're playing, and Cap, I don't know if you play spades or not, but when you get them 13 cards in your hand and you don't have a spade and you don't have a face card, you just got to deal with it, okay?
Yeah.
You just got to deal with it. You got to get through.
Yeah.
You got to get through this hand. And that's where we're at. We got to get through this hand right here. And once we do, I think there is light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, I'll be playing Tonk this weekend. So I look at the positives for me, Alex, is the Bears can run the football. But then the other thing is the big-time throw by Justin Fields. That's a one read. But there's got to be something more in between. So we haven't asked you this year, but we'll ask now. Is Justin Fields the guy?
I think it's very hard to say right now. You put anybody, you put any quarterback that's getting hit at that rate, they're going to look subpar. They're going to look, if they're really good, they're going to look average. I mean, you see how much Burrow is getting hit and they're not winning, okay? So it is hard to put a quarterback, however talented he is, in a position like Justin Fields is in right now. Now, on the other hand, I'm not going to let Justin off the hook here because he missed Griffin in the end zone wide open when he has time. Sometimes he has time, but he starts to see ghosts in a sense. Like, he sees stuff that's not there. The pressure isn't there, but he's trying to get rid of the ball because he knows typically it is there. So do not rush plays. If you get hit, you have to try to feel that, but you have to make those throws. I'm not ready to say he is the guy, but I'm also definitely far away from saying that he's not the guy because of what's around him. There are a lot of circumstances. I know it's a cop-out type of answer, but it is true. It's hard to grade him when what's around him isn't really helping him, even though the running game is, in my mind, one of the top in the league as far as rushing the football.
Okay, so you heard here first, Simeon, to start the next game. Alex wants Simeon in.
Correct.
Fields is not the guy. Go
he
ahead.
Wants Trevor.
Okay, go ahead.
Roquan Smith got destroyed by Carson Wentz, which is all over the highlights this morning. And Briggs tweeted, Roquan, no. Did you see what CBS did to him this morning?
Yes.
They tweeted a picture of him getting blown up by Cam Newton, and it said he was having flashbacks.
Hugh's different. Have you ever stood by Cam Newton?
He's a monster.
Cam Newton is a huge individual.
Mm-hmm.
He is 6'4", 6'5", 250 pounds. He is a big, massive human.
Yes.
I don't know how big Carson Wentz is, but from the eye test, he don't look as big as Cam. So, now, Roquan, get your head on a swivel. You got quarterbacks peeling back on you. You got to get your head on a swivel. You got to blow him up. And I'm sure the next time, if there is a next time that Roquan is on the field and Carson Wentz is the opposing quarterback, Roquan won't forget that. Now, Briggs asked me the question, and I'm going to say yes. if you play football long enough, you're going to get ran over. You're going to get blown up. It's just one of those things. It's like basketball. If you play basketball long enough, you will get dunked on.
Mm-hmm.
That question is, hey, have you ever been dunked on? No, I haven't. Keep playing. Have you ever been ran over? Nah. Well, you just keep playing because it's going to happen. It's just one of those things that happens. So it just sucks when it's the quarterback that blows you up. And you have to live through that, and everybody's replaying it in a day where you got all this social media. So I'm sure if you just if you type in hashtag Roquan Smith or Carson Wentz, hey, that's going to come up, and it will forever be on the internet.
So here we go again, Coach Brown. You got to make your cuts today. Based on yesterday's performance, who gets cut for Coach Brown if he's running the Bears? Is it Velus Jones, where the sun was in his eyes at night, where on that play, apparently the sun was in his eyes? Is it him? Is it Smith Marset again, or is it Dante Pettis? Who's getting cut if Coach Brown is coaching the Bears? Go ahead.
Oh man, cut! I am definitely looking for another someone else that can return punt, because Velus, this is not the first time. This is the second time, and if. It is very hard to convince me, but if you were able to convince me that the sun was out at night, why did it make your knees weak? Why did it make your knees weak? I don't understand that. Why you went down on your knees and let the ball hit you in the face? So I'm looking for another punt returner. If I had to cut anyone, Pettis is gone.
Pettis,
I get it. He had a touchdown. He had four catches, 80 yards or whatever. I don't like to drop balls. That bothers me more than anything.
What about Smith Marset?
He said he didn't.
Yeah, but Smith Marset is a younger player, right?
He cost you two games. Okay, that's too strong. He didn't cost you two games, but there's two egregious mistakes, Cap. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, a young kid, I mean, you got that is what I can say. A young kid makes mistakes. I get that. Pettis dropping a ball. I mean, come on. This is starting to become a theme. He's dropping balls every game that he should catch. And Mooney, at the end of the game, Mooney, you're not off the hook on this. You make that catch at the end of the game, clean catch, it's a touchdown.
Correct, and you win.
You've got to come through. You come through last week with a one-handed catch down the field to get things kind of kicked off and get that offense rolling a little bit. But then this week, a ball hits you right in the hands for the game, and you can't come through. You got to be able to come through in that situation. Would it have been a tough catch? Of course.
Mooney,
but that is why we want. That is why you're here, to make those tough catches.
Yes,
Mooney blamed the lights there too. Did you see that?
Yeah, he said he lost it in the lights.
Yeah, no, nope, not buying it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this ain't the first time they played on with the lights on.
Correct.
So, you just can't blame everything on the lights. Do we need to change the light bulbs? What do we need to do? Actually, you know what? We're gonna get a new stadium anyway, so we get it.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, the question is, who will be the head coach when we move in that stadium?
It's going to be Eberflus. What are you talking about?
No, it's not.
There's zero chance.
You're going to be singing a different tune 365 days from now. You're going to be singing a different tune. You just watch.
There is zero chance Matt Eberflus is coaching 5 years from now when we move in that stadium. He'll be a D.C. in the Canadian League.
No chance. This team will be very competitive. After the $100 million they have to spend in free agency and legitimate draft picks, I hope they can get something for Robert Quinn still and add that to the bundle of offseason things that we need as far as draft capital and able to go into the draft and get some playmakers on offense, continue to run the football, continue to add pieces to that defense, because you don't just get the pieces to a 4-3 defense.
Hoodie.
It is predicated on beating guys one-on-one. When you look at the film, we are not winning our one-on-one battles. We have to have guys up front that can win one-on-one battles, and right now we don't have it.
Robert Quinn person you speak of? Hoodie and I don't know who that is.
was he active yesterday? Do you know?
Yes, he was.
Oh, okay.
He definitely was. But I tell you what you do know. You do know Brisker, mm-hmm. And you do know Gordon. Okay.
Yeah.
And those two kids are here because of this regime right here.
All right, man. Just take care of LSU. Could you do that for me on Saturday? Just do that for me.
We will do that. Yes, we will do that.
Thank God Tennessee's not on your schedule any longer.
Yeah, they're still on the schedule. They're still on, but I'm glad we passed them. Jeez. Yeah.
It's Alex Brown with
us. Have a good day, man.
With us here after every Bears game right
love
here.
Love that dude. I truly love that guy.
Me too. Alex is just so great. And he's being optimistic. He's looking at like a year from now that we'll be changing our tune. Hopefully that is the case. 312-332-3776, our phone number. Cap and I, we see the monitor in front of us. We'll get to your phone calls all coming up next. We'll talk to you about the Bears and their loss against the Washington Commanders. Patrick, you ready?
Yes.
All right, you'll be next right here on Chicago's Home for Sports. All right.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
And Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. I'd like to remind you, on Saturday, you get a chance to see not one show, you get a chance to see two shows. Chicago's College Tailgate with Bleck and Abdallah. If you're a college football fan, this is the best spot. 9 to 11 a.m. and then Peggy and Dion. They'll both be at Rinaldi's West Loop in Chicago, sponsored by Keeper's Heart Irish American Whiskey. So, again, 9 a.m. to 11, 11 to 1. Come see Chicago's College Tailgate with Chris and Adam, and then Peggy and Dion, both at Rinaldi's West Loop. If you're in the area, stop on by. They'd love to see you right here on Chicago's Home for Sports. Thank you, Twitch, for keeping the conversation going this morning. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. That's where you can watch the show as we talk to you about the Bears and their loss against the Washington Commanders. 312-332-3776 is our phone number.
I know we're going to go to the phones. I just want to read you something quick. Robert Griffin III, very good follow on Twitter. Before you crucify Justin Fields, make sure you actually watch the film. He's playing behind a group up front that makes him move off his spot more times than not, has free runners when he's not supposed to be hot, and the scheme has moved away from his strengths. The saving grace was supposed to be the scheme. We knew the O-line was questionable. We knew the skill players were questionable. The scheme was supposed to mask it. The scheme has made it worse. It's coaching that should be crucified.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
It's everything.
It is.
It's everything. Yeah. Yes, the scheme may not be what it would be. But again, how many times do I have to use the word growing pains? Look, first-year head coach in Matt Eberflus. First-time OC coming from the Green Bay system and Getsy. Here's a guy here in Justin Fields in his first full year as a starter for this football team. You got young guys in the secondary. You got Braxton Jones as a rookie on the left tackle. Now, that's no excuse. But the point is that it is maybe a reason why there is a learning curve for a lot of those guys. I mean, these are not all pros out of the box, fresh out of college. There's going to be some growing pains, and I want to see better from this offense, period.
I am arguing with certain people.
Me?
No. One who has long hair and I report to.
Hey, what?
Anyway, yeah. A bunch of people are coming in with, Poles did this on purpose. He knows they don't have talent. Blaming him for executing his plan is foolish. No. My point is, you had $40 million you spent on Ogunjobi, and then it got voided because he failed his physical, correct?
Correct.
I didn't dream that up?
Right. That happened.
Okay. Why didn't you spend any of that then on an offensive lineman? You had the money. You didn't use it. Why did you all of a sudden have $10 million potentially for Riley Reiff the night before camp? Because you went, oh, God. I got to do something to fix the offensive line. And everyone was already off the market. He effed up that situation. I'm not telling you they'd have won the division. What I am telling you is he spent money on Schofield, which was nominal. He spent money on Riley Reiff. He spent money on Larry Ogunjobi. And then, oh, God, I can't believe my quarterback's getting the ever-living H beaten out of him. That's my point.
If you're trying,
newbie GM made a mistake.
Well, here's the thing. You pick a lane if you're a general manager. You say, okay, we can't win with Mack and Robinson and Hicks, and we need to clear the books for the next year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you pick the lane.
That's fine.
But while you do that, understand that the quarterback that you're supposed to believe in is getting his ass kicked because you have inferior talent in front of him. Now, you want to tank because you want a top five pick. If that's the plan, and definitely it's the plan to try to get new players in. I get that, especially mm-hmm. in free agency.
Same here.
But Cap, at the same time, there is the push and pull of it. If you are going to say, we're going to clear the decks and we're just going to put bottom shelf guys like a Pettis and a Smith Marset out there and Griffin, the tight end, and put him out there. If that's your plan and you're trying to lose, what about Justin Fields? It's not one of these things where we're losing, Justin Fields is healthy and he's upright and he doesn't get hit. He's getting his ass kicked back there.
Agreed.
Some is on his own volition and some is on the offensive line.
I'm not trying to sit here and tell you that Justin has been perfect. He hasn't. He holds the ball too long at times. He doesn't take some of the easier throws. Like last night, we played the Kirk Herbstreit audio of the one play where he tried to hit Mooney on a big play instead of taking the 8-9 yard pickup for the first down. I am not trying to tell you Justin's perfect. What I'm trying to tell you is if you spent $40 million on a three technique who fails his physical, you've got that money in your budget. How about adding an offensive lineman before you spend $10 million on a guy who can't get on the freaking field the night before the season starts?
I get you. Absolutely.
Come on, man. What are we doing?
Patrick in Edison Park on ESPN 1000 with Cap and Jay Hood. Hey, Pat. Patrick? Thank you, Shay. Hold on a second, Patrick. That's a fine, by the way. That's a fine. Yeah, just keep the calls up. They're hot in this show. Hot.
Every line.
So come on in here with the dollar. Come on in.
Bring it in. You owe a dollar.
All right. I don't have it.
Liar. Right. Get yourself a dollar. Birdiesbookbank.org.
That's right. Venmo Derek.
He's got the thing down like we're not going to take your calls.
RG3. What? I thought the game plan was actually pretty solid on both sides of the ball. Obviously, we didn't execute a few times, and that gets into the negatives. You're gonna take the good and the bad, but Justin Fields is... He's got the worst wide receiving core in the NFL,
yes.
And it showed last night. He did have some good plays that other quarterbacks can't make, and I think he will get better where he will make those throws, the ones that, like Kirk Herbstreit was talking about. But if Bears fans are looking at the big picture with this new regime, it's kind of a breath of fresh air to say, you know what, the game plan was pretty good.
The game plan was not pretty good because they lost the game.
Correct.
And they were inept offensively. What are you talking about?
Yeah, they generated 7 points. The game plan sucked.
What are you talking about? What's he saying there? No, it was not. If you think that he talks about the big picture. The big picture is, I guess, for polls, is to be in the top five in the draft to try to get younger and also money to spend. I get that. But not at the expense of number one, Justin Fields.
Correct.
He's bent like a pretzel out there, and like that should not be. But this is what you got. You put an inferior talent out there on purpose.
Correct. And then we ask, is this a rebuild? No. We just need just paint a few things in some of the rooms. Really?
That's what he told us.
You sure about that?
Scott South Elgin on ESPN 1000. All right, Scott.
Hey, morning, guys. I'd say good morning, but there ain't much good about it. I watched the game last night, and I think the last caller might have been smoking crack. That was a horrible game plan. So Poles effectively surrounded Justin Fields with players who can't even play at Mount Carmel High School.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just going to accept that and roll out a Ferrari and put unleaded gas in it. That's basically what we're doing, because Justin Fields is a Ferrari. He is absolutely he is an elite talent. But he has nothing around him. Absolutely nothing. That poor kid is getting gutted every single time he drops back to pass. Cap, I completely agree with you. My cousin, he works with you. He speaks to your character. He speaks to your football knowledge. Every time I talk to him, he's like, Cap's a great guy. Hoodie, I know you were drinking the VSOP last night. My buddy Dre called in earlier. I think between me and him, we've invested more money in our football man caves than the Chicago Bears have in their wide receiver corps. And that's not okay.
That'd be a nice man cave.
Scott's
hey,
right.
Man, we appreciate your call. Have a great day. By the way, Justin Fields, take a bow for your toughness. That kid got the crap beaten out of him last night, and somehow, some way, he finds a way to get up. You could see he's in pain. He said it at the press conference. Do you know that most of his teammates, when he spoke to the media, had already left?
Mm-hmm.
He was still in his uniform.
Yes.
Still in his uniform.
Yeah. You know why?
It's killing him.
You know why? Couldn't take it off.
Yeah.
Hurting.
Can you guys cut this stuff off me? I can't lift my arm up.
Might have re-aggravated his shoulder, Fields, by the way.
Yeah, it's just my shoulder, my left shoulder, hurt it a while back, so it just kind of re-aggravated it.
So I was just trying to keep the muscles, you know, activating and just keep it moving. I'm hurting. Good, but we got a long weekend, so I'll have some extra time to heal up. I felt like they got back there. You know, everybody knows that, you know, Washington has a great D-line. They have great D-tackles, so definitely felt them coming today for sure. Just finish the catch, finish the throw, finish the run, finish the blocks. I mean, as an offense, we got to finish. I got to be better. We all got to be better, so yeah.
That's there from Justin Fields, quarterback for the Chicago Bears. More of your phone calls coming up, 312-332-3776 is our phone number. I'd like to remind you that Abdallah and Meller will be in the crosstalk with us at 10 on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Apt, ABT, my favorite store in the world, is your number one destination for the home, and they're here to help you conquer Chicago's winter weather with a new HVAC system from Trane. Trane's heating, cooling, and air quality solutions are rated number one in owner satisfaction, my friend Jonathan, and brand reliability by a leading consumer magazine. It's hard to stop a Trane, and Apt is the largest Trane dealer in the Chicagoland area. Plus, they offer 24-hour emergency services should you ever need them. For free and home delivery, professional installation, complete satisfaction, and the best customer service experience in the world, shop at Apt. ABT. Apt. Pleasing people since 1936.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
On ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app, as we talk to you about the Bears and their loss against Washington 12-7. Some thoughts from Matt Eberflus, the head coach for the Bears. He'll get back to your phone calls. So Eberflus talks about a number of things. I guess the question was, did Fields take another step last night?
I think he took a step forward. I really do. Because the toughness, you know, and the ability to take the ball and drive it down at the very end to give us a chance to win it. That's to me what was the improvement. Okay, was there other moments, you know, that we need to clean up and offense needs to clean up? Sure, but we had the drives down there, and if we punch those in, the game's a different game. You know, that's 21 points, right? So for me, that was really inspiring to watch him do that at the very end to take us down to win it at the very end. And again, we came up short, but we got to do a better job next time.
Remember I told you the other day that when the Bears are the only game and the whole nation's watching you, that people will make their opinions, cast their aspersions. So like, you can hide on an NFL Sunday sometimes. Like, the Bears weren't shown that much on Red Zone. Let's talk about the Bears. So, I mean, I see Kurt Warner. You see Kurt Warner going after the Bears too?
Yes.
Yeah, man, after watching the tape, my big conclusion, the Chicago Bears are a mess in the passing game right now. And everyone is taking their turn. Scheme, quarterbacks, wide receivers, which makes it a difficult fix. I mean, everybody sees it, man. They watch the game and just like, what the hell is this?
Correct.
Right?
Look.
It's a rebuild.
It's a rebuild. It's what a rebuild looks like.
It is.
I get it. My point is, you had some money to spend. You could have helped your young quarterback out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You chose not to.
This is the lane.
Now, there were people, you'll remember this, we would look up at these big monitors we have in here. There's three of them.
Mm-hmm.
And First Take or Undisputed or any of those shows. Are the Bears setting Justin Fields up purposefully to fail? I don't believe that. I think they wanted to see what he was like as a player.
Yeah.
There were people that believed by not putting anything around him, let him get pounded on, they look terrible, and now I can go get my quarterback. That's what I fail to understand. If you become the boss of the radio station,
sure.
If you didn't hire the said person that's on the air, they're still yours.
Mm-hmm.
You all are teammates. Ryan Poles and Justin Fields are joined at the hip, not because he drafted him, because he's on his team.
Right.
I mean, that's such a dumb concept to me. I'll make sure this kid sucks. Then I can go get my quarterback. No.
No.
Because maybe you have something there and you go, wow, I can use those assets to go get that tackle, that receiver, and that tight end. No, I don't believe that. I just think Ryan Poles did not do a good enough job just trying to support him.
Al in Arlington Heights on ESPN 1000 with Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Al.
What up, y'all? How y'all doing?
Good.
What's up?
Hey, man, I disagree with you guys, like, big picture outlook. I feel like you guys aren't blaming Luke Getsy and the people really responsible. Like, you can't tell me that offense didn't look like Matt Nagy. And what we saw with Mitchell Trubisky, not running the ball when they really why stop running the ball the way they were running the ball? Situationally, to me, the Bears are a bad situational football team, and that has a lot to do with coaching.
Well, Al, if you just let me just say this. If you mentioned running the football, if the Bears kept running the football, it becomes predictable.
Third and one, you're going to risk a pass to get batted in the air instead of just running it when you have David Montgomery?
Listen, there are situations where they could have run it, but you're saying that they shouldn't run it exclusively. They need to be able to have some semblance of a passing game.
With this wide receiver core, with this wide receiver core, why would you pass it more than 15 times a game if you're not trying to set your quarterback up to fail?
Well, if you run the football, trying to run the football down the throats of a team, you know, show me a team that runs the football exclusively, I'll show you not a very good football team, period. Listen, there were certain situations, you could have run it, but the point is, though, is that, this is an inferior wide receiver core, but your offensive setup cannot just be run the football. It cannot be. The defense is going to key. We've seen this a couple of times where safety will sneak in like, okay, let's get in the box because these guys can't throw it down the field. We've seen them other teams do this already this season.
Correct.
They only do it from 10 yards and in. So let's just make sure that we're ready and our lanes are ready to make sure that we're stopping the Velus Jones handoff or stopping David Montgomery because they don't take enough shots down the field. I just don't think that you can just run the football exclusively and think you're going to win. This ain't 1986. You got to be able to throw. You got to make the defense feel honest. Keep them honest a little bit, don't you?
You do. You need to take a couple shots down the field just to loosen things up. Even if you don't hit them, you got to take a couple shots each half down the field. They have the ability to run the football. I agree. But holy bleep, can we get somebody here, get some type of separation? And then that does not excuse the mistakes Justin makes at times when he does have an easy throw to make. Take the easy throws.
Mike in Grand Rapids, Michigan, listening on the ESPN Chicago app, has just dropped off. I had my finger on there, and then boom.
I mean, you were literally going to him, and he just dropped off. Maybe he got nervous the last second?
I don't know. If he wants to call back, there's always Abdallah and Miller. Instead, we go to the south side. Here's Reggie on ESPN 1000. All right, Reg. Reg.
Yeah, just can you please? I'm sorry.
Reggie.
Yeah.
You're on the air, man. Let's go.
Okay, hey, what's going on, Kappa J?
Hey.
Okay, now I want to just say, hey, y'all do a great job. I want to say, anybody looking at number 62, I'm watching Fields the whole game, and my attention just instantly went to 62 for the whole game. The guy was getting pushed around the whole game. I understand Griffin talked about the line a little bit, but I just want to go into detail about 62 and see if anybody's seen that, what I saw, because it was ridiculous, man.
So 62 is who? Lucas Patrick?
Patrick, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, and he got hurt. He got evaluated for a concussion and did not come back.
Oh, well, that makes sense because he looked like he had a concussion the whole game.
Yeah, he's not very good.
Go back to what you were doing, man. Thanks for calling in, though. Call us again.
You got it, Reggie.
Yorkville and Freddie's on ESPN 1000. All right, Fred.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Always listen to you guys every morning.
Appreciate
thank
you.
Someone has to. Thank you, Fred.
Great show. Yeah, I'm not on drugs either. Hey, Kirk Herbstreit and the officials must have been watching a different game last night because that interference call was definitely an interference call on Pettis in the end zone and third down. I got a picture of it right here on my screen, and the guy's got his left arm wrapped up inside of his elbow, hand facing down. And it was definitely interference. It was not going for the ball. And that would have put them at 1 yard line with a new set of downs. So that's just my comment.
What,
he missed it.
What quarter was that, Fred? I got a million notes here.
Fourth quarter, third down, right before the pass to Mooney that was missed.
You're talking about the last drive.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, so they had one where Dante Pettis got interfered with. I think you still got to make the catch.
Yeah.
Then you had the Mooney drive.
He only had one hand to catch the ball because the other guy had his arm wrapped inside of his elbow.
Yeah, it should have been a pass interference. No question
exactly.
about it.
That's all my point.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. Absolutely right.
But again, go back to the whatever I said it was, the 230 marker there. Yeah. Punt the football. You got three timeouts. Punt the and the 2 minute warning. Punt the football.
Also,
4th and 16, we're going for it.
If we're talking pass interference, and it's not the reason they lost, the pass interference that got called on Kyler Gordon was not pass interference.
It was not pass interference.
I disagree. It was pass interference.
What did you see there, Cap, in that spot?
I'd have to bring the thing back up, but he made contact and impeded the receiver having a chance to go make the catch. And I asked the guys I work with who played. They all said it's PI. All of them. So take it for what it's worth.
Herbie said it wasn't.
Okay.
I didn't think it was.
I thought it was.
What about Herbie?
Me personally.
Herbie. Your thoughts on Herbie?
He dresses well.
What about the analysis?
It's fine.
312-332-3776 is our phone number. We see you on hold. We'll get to your phone calls coming up. And also the Cap and J Hood cut of the day. What about Herbie?
Dresses well.
On ESPN 1000.
Cap J Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Cap and J Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Time now for the Cap and J Hood Cut of the Day, brought to you by
Chicago Cut Steakhouse. The great David Flom, Matt Moore have cooked up a phenomenal opportunity for you to have a best steak. They've got seafood, the ahi tuna, incredible. But I would recommend the Dover sole done tableside,
fresh from Delaware.
No,
not Dover sole, not from Delaware.
I don't believe so.
That's odd.
I don't believe.
So. All right, Shay, here we go.
Yo. Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
Bayless Jones is back there, and he's on his knees as if, I can't catch this ball because the sun's in my eyes.
Oh, my God.
It was a night game, so it wasn't the sun.
Correct.
That's the point of that.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
And that's the cut of the day, brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse.
And highly recommend the Newski Bacon Appetizer. I'm cooking there on Tuesday, by the way. We do the Game Day Gourmet over on TV.
Another gig, huh?
Another gig.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be cooking for the Game Day Gourmet, do the Newski Bacon, the burger, and maybe make an old-fashioned on top.
Are you going to drink it?
100%.
Okay, I just said that. There you go. You need that. We all need that as a Bears fan.
I will be cocktailing tonight.
Brother, I started last night. You know, I don't do that on a weeknight, on a work night, especially Bear. Brother, the Remy went down smooth.
Yeah, I'm getting banged up tonight.
Well, what did you just say?
He's going to get banged up.
I'm getting banged up tonight.
Do you get banged up?
Yeah.
I'm going to get cocktailed tonight. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yes, Merkin.
It's been a tough week with the
Bears. I'm going to drink some bourbon tonight. I'm going to have a good meal.
Yeah.
I'm going to lay on the couch, gamble college football and baseball.
There's only two college football games, and they're both bad games.
I don't care. Every time you can make a wager, it's a money-making opportunity. There's hockey.
Yeah. You can always bet. You know that, Merk.
Come on, Merkin. You're better than that.
Stamford, Connecticut. Let's say hello to Sal on ESPN 1000, listening on the ESPN Chicago app.
Sal Palantonio.
Hello, Sal.
Hey, guys. A couple of points I'd like to make. When they get down to the goal line, you have St. Brown and Komet, both 6'5", 6'6". Why aren't they lining them up and throwing them a jump ball? Second point, they let James Daniel go, who just turned 25 and could play both guard position and center. They could have franchised Allen Robinson. They drafted Velus Jones in the third round because he's going to be the next Deebo Samuel. They could have drafted a left tackle, a right tackle, or a center in the third round. to help out Justin Fields?
Look, I've always said you take the best players on your board, or why are you setting a draft board? He looked at his board and he went, who's left? Brisker and Gordon, two best guys on our board, we're taking them. And I'm glad we have them. My point is, in free agency, you had money to spend. Well, Cap, they really didn't have much cap room. You spent $40 million on an Ogunjobi, and then you rejected him because of a physical. You never spent all that money.
That was the Edwin Jackson move right there for the Bears.
Correct.
That's what that was.
And they got lucky.
Yeah.
He flunked the physical, so they didn't have him. You had money to sign Riley Reiff the night before training camp and Schofield for $1 million. You're telling me you couldn't have kept James Daniels? You couldn't have gone into free agency and done something? I'm not expecting Teron Armstead for $75 million, who's in Miami now. There's a happy medium.
There he is, James and Gurney on ESPN 1000. All right, James.
Oh, I was supposed to workshop my last call, Goody. I don't know how this is going to go. And I don't even know where to start.
Keep going
ahead. The morning after, right? The morning after pill. So we got to realize we're going to rebuild. But, I mean, there's so much. I mean, this offensive line is in shambles. Cap, you said it the best. One tackle, one, even a WR1/2 just give this kid some help. But some of this is on Justin. Mooney was wide open.
Mm-hmm.
On that play at the end of the game, that's your third. When that back foot hits in the third, I play quarterback my whole life. Obviously, I'm not a professional. But that ball comes out, it's a touchdown. I mean, Mooney still should have caught it. It's just, and they're not weaponizing this kid, man. And, you know, I mean, Fitzpatrick said it pretty well, and it's easy for us to sit back after this. Get this kid outside the pocket a little bit, man. Get him away from the pressure. You're going to get him killed, but I just don't know where to begin. I think, Cap, you said it perfectly. You could have went and got a tackle. Fitzpatrick, concussion or not, he's been getting worked. You got Tevin Jenkins sitting on the sidelines and 79's in. As I'm watching this play, Tevin Jenkins may be our most talented offensive lineman, and I don't see him getting beat very often at all. The right side of this line's way better than the left side. Braxton's young. I don't know what to think. I know it's a rebuild and all that, but at the end of the day, Justin Fields' delivery, he's dropping the ball below his elbow. This kid's got to fix his fundamentals, and he's got to get rid of the football. And I know he's seeing ghosts and all that, but still, he's got plenty of time. There's plenty of people getting separation. Maybe not a ton because we don't have a WR1 or 2, but he's just not seeing the field, and he's not getting rid of the football. And that has a lot to do with all these caveats, but I mean, you're not Aaron. Tell Getsy, someone let him know it's not number 12 back there. Get this kid outside of the pocket just a little bit. You can't move this pocket every single play, but give me 22%. That's a weird number. Give me 22% of this kid getting outside the pocket.
James, thanks, man. We saw that a little bit, especially in the first quarter. Remember? A couple of reads, got it down the field in the first quarter. We saw him being able to move out of the pocket and get it down the field. Which I liked. The play to commit, play action to the left, and then the pass to commit for a first down. Mm-hmm. Fields to Pettis, a 19-yard pass. Patience in the pocket, and he got the ball to Pettis. But those plays are few and far in between. That's the problem. We saw the space and the timing and everything work early. But, I mean, again, exclusively running the football is not the key to a victory. You got to be able to blend both. If your strength is running the football, yes, do that what you got to do. But when 60% of Bears football is running the football, that's a 4-to-1 ratio. Run to pass? Uh-uh. No. You can run it, but someone's got to get open. You've got to get it down the field at some point. That's the NFL. What we're looking at here is high school. Nonsense. You hear what Ryan Fitzpatrick said on Amazon?
No.
They all went after the Bears. I mean, here's a longtime quarterback talking about Justin Fields.
He needs to look himself in the mirror and say, what am I? You are not Peyton Manning. You are not Patrick Mahomes. You are not a pocket passer. You are a Cam Newton type. You are a guy that is an elite runner of the football. We need to lean on and utilize that skill. Don't sit in the pocket and try to be a pocket passer. That is not your strength.
One thing, though, it is only his second year.
It doesn't matter, though. If you look at his footwork,
it's his skill set.
If you look at how he can't get past his first read, he's not going to be.
So what are you saying there? You're saying right now the way it's a fundamental thing. He doesn't have the fundamentals to play this position.
But it's both. It's also the way that he thinks and plays the game. If you get him outside the pocket early on in that first half, when you saw him make those second level throws, he was making great throws over linebackers. He had the throw to Mooney on the sideline. He's a great deep ball thrower. He's great when he's outside the pocket. He's not a pocket passer.
Ooh.
I can tell you this. The coaches, are telling him they want him to stay in the pocket more and not be so quick to pull it down and run. Fitzpatrick's saying that. I assume he's talked to the coaches. He's saying get out of the pocket, use your legs more. The Bears are trying to teach him to trust the pocket more. It's a disconnect there.
We thank you for listening and calling in and switching with us here on this Bears Friday on ESPN 1000. Thanks to you for checking in. Our thanks to Shay and Randy on the other side of the glass. For David Kaplan, it's Jonathan Hood. How about we do this Monday? Monday at 7 o'clock.
Let's do it, man. Relax. Enjoy your weekend, Hoodrow. I love you.
Love you. And we will talk to you Monday at 7. Coming up next, it's Meller and Abdallah. That's in 2 minutes as we crosstalk with the guys here on Chicago's Home for Sports. So long, everybody.
Take that.
Thanks for calling.